Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Dayo Prabhupada, Pribo. Jagor, Adi Bodhi, 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 Bodhi.
Jai Om, Vishnu Bhai, Paramahansa, Paramacharya, Altha Tera Satishi, Shimai. His Divine Grace, Abhaya Charanada Bhaktivedanta Gosami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrindi ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Param Se Kaho Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shivaita Gadadha, Sivasadi Gaura, Bhakta Vrindi ki jai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikapatnath Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavan Kijai, Maturadam Kijai, Jagadadasami Kijai, Yumunamai Kijai, Srimati Lasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrind Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Go. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda. Hari Hari Bol. Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Buddhale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste. Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharani. Nivashesha Shunyavadi. Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, we're a little late today, and if there are any glitches in the internet, it's due to the internet being down, and I'm using my backup internet connection today. So, Om Agana Timidanda Shaganjana Shalakaya Taksurud Miditam Jena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we are continuing with our study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially this nice story about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's interactions with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So just to reiterate what we went over yesterday, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been introduced to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And when he was introduced to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked him his sannyas name, and he says, yeah, that's like a brahmachari name. Because Lord Chaitanya kept his brahmachari name. Actually, he wasn't brahmachari before, but his initial name, first of all. And secondly, he said, you've been initiated, the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you've been initiated in, like, not such a good Mayavadi Sampradaya. And, of course, Gopinath Acharya corrected Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Gopinath Acharya is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's brother-in-law, so he corrected him. He said, you know, he's the Supreme Lord. You know, he's transcendental to all sorts of sampradayas. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is going to have a philosophical discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an attempt to actually... wouldn't exactly say reinitiate him as a sannyasi, because he's not a sannyasi, he can't give sannyasi to someone, but reconnect him to what he thinks is a higher Mayavadi Sampradaya. That's interesting. Higher Mayavadi Sampradaya. It's like a higher low. Anyway, so he's going to try to connect him to a higher Mayavadi Sampradaya by having a philosophical discussion with Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya is going to defeat him in that philosophical discussion. And that's what we're going to hear about today. All right. So, Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dwaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dwaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, let me just adjust this thing here. Okay. We're continuing with text 74 of the 6th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhalila. Let's continue. So, this is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya speaking right now. And you see, kahe, that means he speaks. Bhattacharya kahe inhara praudak yovanha kemate sarma vairakshana. Alrighty. The Bhattacharya inquired, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his full-fledged youthful life, how can he keep the principles of a sannyas or a sannyasi? Nirantara iha ke vedanta shunaiva vairagya dvaita marge pravesha karaiva. I shall continually recite Vedanta philosophy before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that he may remain fixed in his renunciation and thus enter upon the path of monism. Path of monism is the path of understanding basically everything's one. That's what monism means. And also, everything's illusion. All variety is illusion. That's one of the important parts of monism. But if everything was one, this is a mistake in their philosophy, if everything was one, then everything, how did illusion come about? How did our perception of variety come about if everything is one? Because how did one become many or seem to become many? What's the problem, my dear Mayavadi? Okay, so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is very worried about Lord Chaitanya because he's young. He's only 24. Basically, no one should take sannyas at 24. Very dangerous. It has to be extreme, exceptional case like a Madhvacharya, or someone like that. Young. I mean, I took sannyas when I was 28, much older than 24. Thank God I waited till I was old. So, anyway, and I'm happy I did it. But my personal opinion is that people should wait until at least they're 50. And actually, that's ISKCON's opinion generally. Because basically, one's brain is not fully developed until one's 35 or 40 anyway. When one is very young, one can be overcome with illusion very, very easily. All sorts of illusion. So it's better than someone's a little older, like I was. So according to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, among the sannyasis, the cultivation of Vedanta philosophy helps in becoming detached from sense gratification. Completely wrong. If you cultivate the knowledge of the non-eternality of, let's say, the forms of this material world or the nature of illusion, that doesn't help you become detached. You become detached by having a higher taste, because the taste still remains. Of course, you may be able to stay fixed for some time because of your intelligence. Oh, Maya, Maya. This is Maya. That is Maya. Everything is Maya, 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 Maya. So, you may be able to stay fixed for some time, but unless you have a higher taste, that means unless you're connected in love to Krishna. So love is the force of bhakti. That's a fact. Just like in the material world, if one is in love, which is actually lust, then one forgets about everything else. So if you're in love with Krishna, then you actually forget. Or at least you should love the spiritual master. Just like what really protected me throughout all my formative years, Wonder Bread years, was my love for Prabhupada. Because I just want to please Prabhupada. And of course, I judge things accordingly, accepting things favorably rejecting things that are unfavorable. Simple. If there's love, you can do that. Then it's easy to be detached from this world. What's favorable? What's unfavorable? Okay. What does Prabhupada want? Just like I ask myself the question in many cases. I'm not raising my hand. I'm just setting my camera in action. I raise this question to myself, and I said, if Prabhupada was here, what would he say? Yes, nay, maybe, perhaps. And then I listened to Prabhupada, who was internalized in my heart. So anyway, thus a sannyasi can protect the prestige of wearing a loincloth, kupina, when asked to practice sense control as well as mind control and subdue the six forces of speech, mind, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. These are just like forcing us to act. The mind, anger, tongue, the belly. I have to eat, even though the tongue and belly work together. And actually the genitals too, tongue, belly, genitals. They're all in the line. So I have to eat. Then one can become expert in understanding the social service part, thus become a perfect sannyasi. For that purpose, one must cultivate knowledge. When one is attached to material sense gratification, he cannot protect the sannyasa order. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya suggested by the study of vairagya renunciation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu might be saved from the clutches of full-fledged youthful desires. Not simply the study of vairagya. It's the study of Krishna, but he's not pingy like that. Anyway. Kahina yadi hunarapi yogapatadiya samskara kariye utama sampradaye aniya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then suggested, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like, I could bring him into a first-class sampradaya by offering him saffron cloth and performing the reformatory process again. Pew! The Bhattacharya wanted to reinstate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the Saraswati sampradaya because he did not like the lords belonging to the Bharati sampradaya or Puri sampradaya. Actually, he did not know the position of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a supreme personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not depend on an inferior or superior sampradaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead remains in the supreme position in all circumstances. Now, he's not suggesting that he would become Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru, because sannyas, or the taking of sannyas, is a formality. It's not like your initiation into Hurinam, your initiation into the Gayatri mantras. It's a formality. So the person who you take sannyas from does not become your eternal guru. He performs a formality. You understand? It's a serious vow, but it's a formality. You understand? It's not like eternal spiritual connection with a sannyas guru. Remember that when you take sannyas, all of you nice people. So, Shuni Gopinatha Makunda Dunhe Duki Hoila Gopinatha Charya Kichu Na Kahite La Gila. Gopinatha Charya and Makunda Dai became very unhappy when they heard this. Gopinatha Charya therefore addressed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as follows. Bhattacharya Tumin Harana Jana Mahima Bhagavata Lakshanera Ihaite Simha Sima. My dear Bhattacharya, you do not know the greatness of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are found in him to the highest degree. Since the Bhattacharya was an impersonalist, he had no idea of the absolute truth beyond the impersonal effulgence, that means the light. You see the light. However, Gopinathacharya informed him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who know the absolute truth know it in three phases, as explained in a very famous verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text 11. Vedanti tat tattva viras tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmaiti bhagavan iti shabdiyate. those who are in knowledge of the non-dual absolute truth know very clearly what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, and what is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sad Aishwarya Purna complete with six opulences. Gopinath Acharya emphasized that all those six opulences were completely existing in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we've recited that verse many, many times before about the three aspects. In fact, yesterday we talked elaborately about it, the three aspects of the Absolute Truth. Brahman, which is the effulgence, composed, it says the undifferentiated Brahman, but actually composed of little jiva souls floating who decided to merge into the Brahman. And their lights like little fireflies who are in a state of suspended animation. In other words, their consciousness is not manifest. It's unmanifest, it's potential, because there's no body, their senses are not manifest, or anything like that. Anyway, that's the Brahman. The Paramatma is the localized super soul in everyone's heart, localized in every atom. And the Bhagwan feature of the Lord is the personality of Godhead in one of his various manifestations, like Krishna, Ram, Nrisimha. These are all Bhagwan. So Bhagwan Nrisimha, Bhagwan Ram, Bhagwan Krishna. Okay. Dahate vikyata inho paramahishvara jna stane kichunahe vignera gochura. Gopinath Acharya continued, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is celebrated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are ignorant in this connection find the conclusion of knowledgeable men very difficult to understand. In other words, he's calling his brother-in-law an ignoramus at this particular point. Shishyagana kahe Ishwara kaha kon brahmane Acharya kahe Vignamata Ishwara lakshane. The disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya retaliated. By what evidence do you conclude that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord? Gopinath Acharya replied, the statements of authorized acharyas who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are proof. So since the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there have been many pseudo-incarnations. That means pretenders in India, who do not present authorized evidence. 500 years ago, the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being very learned scholars, were certainly right in asking Gopinath Acharya for evidence. If a person proposes that he himself is God, or that someone else is an incarnation of God or God himself, he must cite evidence from Shastra to prove his claim. Thus, the request of Bhattacharya's disciples is quite bona fide. Unfortunately, at the present moment, it has become fashionable to present someone as an incarnation of God without referring to the Shastras. Before an intelligent person accepts someone as an incarnation of God, however, he must ask about the evidence. When the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya challenged Gopinath Acharya, he immediately replied, correctly, we must hear the statements of great personalities in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna is established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by statements from many authorized persons such as Brahma, Narada, Vyasadeva, Sita, and Arjuna. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavicham, Paramambhavam, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divim, Adideva Mahamavi, Bhumahuspam, Rishayaksave, Devar, Shir, Naradas. Ta-ta! It's a Bhagavad Gita verse. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by evidence from the same personalities. This will be explained later. And actually, when Prabhupada was preaching in America, there were so many incarnations of, so-called incarnations, pseudo-incarnations of God coming to America. There was one who was a young boy, I think he was 16 years old. And he was declared as God, and he had followers. And he ran away with his secretary. Of course, that would have been considered abuse, because I think his secretary was older. Yeah, she was over 18. Child abuse. So anyway, so he ran away with his secretary, and his mother got angry, sued him in court, and said, my other son is God, not this son is God. another God appeared, or an incarnation of Jesus Christ appeared, a pseudo, from Korea. And he was an incarnation. He had many, 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 many followers. And he had illicit sex with many of his disciples, female disciples. I mean, so much craziness going on. So therefore, if someone is going to be accepted as God, he must have the characteristics, he must be predicted in Shastra, and must be accepted by the great sages' personalities of Godhead. Not personalities of God, great sages as the personality of Godhead. So that's the point. And so these are the standard methods of judging whether someone is an incarnation or appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shishya kahe ishwara tatva sari anumane, acharya kahe anumane, nahishvara jnane. The disciples of the Bhattacharya said, we derive knowledge of the absolute truth by logical hypothesis. Gopinathacharya replied, one cannot attain real knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such logical hypothesis and argument. The Mayavadi philosophers in particular make certain hypotheses about the absolute truth. They reason that in the material world we experience that everything is created. If we trace the history of anything, we find a creator. Therefore, there must be a creator of this huge cosmic manifestation. True. By such reasoning, they come to the conclusion that a higher power has created this cosmic manifestation. True. The Mayavadis do not accept this great power to be a person. So the Mayavadis are false. Their brains, or their conclusion is false, sorry. They are not false. Their brains cannot accommodate the fact that the huge cosmic manifestation can be created by a person. They doubt this because as soon as they think of a person, they think of a person within the material world with limited potency. So this is also a fallacious argument that they have, the Mayavadis have. They say that persons are limited. That's the first point, first problem in their argument. But that conclusion is reached by the process of induction, which is actually a faulty process because every person they've seen has been limited. And they don't understand. They haven't seen all persons. If they had seen all persons, they could come to that conclusion if all persons were limited. But if they had seen all persons, they would be unlimited. And so it wouldn't be the correct conclusion. So in other words, to come to the perfect conclusion using induction, you have to be omniscient. And if you make an absolute statement like that, that no person is unlimited, then it's a self-limiting statement. In other words, you're contradicting yourself. So that's the first point. Second point is their assumption, which is also illogical, that the absolute truth having a personality would limit him. Well, I got news for you. If the absolute truth doesn't have a personality, he'd be limited. Right. He doesn't have a form because you're taking something away from him. So to be the absolute truth must be unlimited, without a form, and with a form simultaneously. You understand? Must have both aspects. And that's what we say, too. It's called the Chincha Beda Aveda Tapa. The Supreme Personality of God is one and everything. He's one and unlimited. He's one and different from everything. Simultaneously, inconceivably, this is Lord Mahaprabhu's philosophy. So the Supreme Absolute Truth must have everything, personality, impersonality, light, darkness, happiness, distress, everything must be there in the Supreme Absolute Truth, but in variety. Sometimes the Mayavadi philosophers will accept Lord Krishna or Lord Rama as Bhagavan, but they think of the Lord as a person having a material body. The Mayavadis do not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna has a spiritual body. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchinanda Vigraha Anadir Adi Govinda Sarvakarna Karna. They think of Krishna as a great personality human being within whom there is the supreme and personal power of Brahman. But how do the impersonal power Brahman, my question for the Mayavadis, assume or become variegated? Can't explain that. They say, well, that's by the influence of Maya. Then Maya must be more powerful than the supreme Brahman, and therefore Maya must be God, which they won't accept because they don't explain what Maya is. Therefore, they finally conclude that the impersonal Brahman is the supreme, not the personality of Krishna. I mean, that's so illogical. Just like any one of us has energies, we have things we possess. So which is more important, our possessions or us? Well, of course, Prabhupada gave the example, which is more important, the sunshine, the sun globe, or the person controlling it. This is the basis of Mayavadi philosophy. However, from the Shastras, we can understand that the Brahman effulgence consists of the bodily rays of Krishna. This is from the Brahma Samhita. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagananda koti kautishvashesha vasudari vibhuti vinam tad brahma nishkalam anantam shesha bhutam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I serve, wow, a little bit different translation here. I serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda, the primeval Lord, the effulgence of whose transcendental body is known as the Brahma's Jyoti. Jyoti means the light of Brahman. Brahma means Brahman. So the Brahma Jyoti. That Brahma Jyoti, which is unlimited, unfathomed, and all-pervasive, is the cause of the creation of the unlimited numbers of planets with varieties and climates and specific conditions of life. And it's from the Brahma Samhita, the 5th chapter, text 40. Mayavadi philosophers study the Vedic literature, but they do not understand that in the last stage of realization, the absolute truth is the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. They do accept the fact that there is a creator of this cosmic manifestation, but that is Anuman hypothesis. The Mayavadi philosopher's logic is something like seeing smoke on a hill and concluding that there is fire. When there is a forest fire on a high hill, smoke is first of all visible. Since it is known that smoke is created when there is fire, from seeing the smoke on the hill, one can conclude that a fire is burning there. Similarly, from seeing this cosmic manifestation, the Mayavadi philosophers conclude that there must be a creator. And of course, they're right about the conclusion, but their methodology of coming to that conclusion is not a perfect methodology, although their conclusion is correct. Let's use the smoke on the hill right now. Okay, so let's say we look at a far distant hill and we see smoke coming from it. What else could be causing smoke to come from the hill other than a fire? Well, it could be condensation. Certain types of condensation can emulate smoke or look very similar to smoke. It may not be smoke, but it may look like smoke because we have imperfect senses. So we can perceive, as I gave the example the other day, we can perceive water in the desert when water isn't there. So we may see smoke and it's not smoke, obviously. Or it could be a fire that's been extinguished. Fire is extinguished and there's some smoke remaining. Or it could be someone vaping. You know. You probably don't know what that is. That's better I don't explain it. The disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So in other words, their process of induction is not a perfect process. Although at this particular point, they've actually come to a right intermediate understanding. There must be a creator. Fine. That's proper. So, yes, there must be a creator. And actually, it's a pretty good method of ascertaining the existence of a creator because when we see the complexity of the material energy, and even within each individual cell, there's practically unlimited complexity. when we see the complexity of the material energy, we can understand that only a designer could have put it together. It could not have happened by chance, or the possibility of it happening by chance, to be more scientific, mathematically correct, is like 1/10 to the 200,000th or something like that. Yeah. So, in other words, it's so improbable that it couldn't happen. So that's a very, very important point. So, you know, anyway, induction is a reasonably good method of understanding things, but it's not a perfect method. I'll give you an example of how it's not a perfect method. Let's say everybody I come in touch with is getting old, and everybody in the past has died. So I come to the conclusion that all living entities must die, all conscious beings must die. So, is that necessarily true? Because there's Krishna, who is a conscious being, and he hasn't died, and he doesn't die, and never will die. And the living entities in the spiritual world are conscious, and they don't, are born, and they don't die. So, induction can lead us astray in certain circumstances. Although it's a tool, it's one of the methods that we can use to understand things. It's like Prabhupada would use it. He said, everybody has a father, and the father's father has a father, and the father's father, and you go back to the original father, that's Krishna. So it can be used, but it's not a perfect methodology. The disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted evidence to show that that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually the creator of the cosmic manifestation. Only then would they accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original cause of creation. Gopinathacharya replied that one could not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by guesswork. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, text 25, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavartaha mudo yam navijanati lokomam ajam abhyam. I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I'm covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and inexhaustible. Also in the Mahabharata, it says, Tarko Pratishta. One cannot establish the absolute truth by argumentation and logic, nor simply by reading the Vedic literatures. That's another side. Shrutina, Vivina. And ultimately, the conclusion given in the Mahabharata is Mahajana Gatasavam, that one must approach a great soul, a Mahajana, means a great soul, and follow in their footsteps. Ruhuganaita tapasana yati na chayeche nirvapanad grahadva nachandat sanayva jalagni suryar vana mahapada rujobhishekam. No one can understand the absolute truth by performing austerities, being a good grahastha, being a good sannyasi, only by taking the dust of the feet of a great devotee, or bath in the dust of the feet of a great devotee, which we described yesterday. We talked about that. The Supreme Personality of Godhead reserves the right of not being exposed to non-devotees. He can be understood only by bona fide devotees. Lord Krishna elsewhere says in the Gita, 18th chapter, famous verse, text 55, Bhaktya mam abhijanati. One can understand me only by the devotional process. In the 4th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 4.3, Lord Krishna says, Bhakto si me sakachiti rahasyam yita dutamam. Here Lord Krishna informs Arjuna that he is disclosing the secrets of the Bhagavad Gita to him because he is his devotee. Arjuna was not a sannyasi, nor was he a Vedantist or Brahmin. He was, however, a devotee of Krishna. The conclusion is that we have to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Latavish. One has to approach the Guru and get the mercy of Krishna, which consists of bhakti, or the seed or the creeper of devotion. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhurya, 19th chapter, 151, sorry. More evidence can be cited to show that without the mercy of a devotee or the mercy of Krishna, one cannot understand what is Krishna and what is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the next verse. Anumana pramananahi ishvara tatpajnane kripa vinahi svare re keha nahi chane. Gopinath Acharya continued. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by his mercy, not by guesswork or hypothesis. And of course, there's that story where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encountered a Brahmin in South India who was illiterate, and the Brahmin had been told by his guru to read Bhagavad Gita every day. But the Brahmin was illiterate. But he tried his best, was going through the pages, and he was crying. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Why are you crying?" I said, "Because you can't read." He said, "No, because I'm thinking how wonderful it is that Krishna has become the chariot driver of his devotee Arjuna. And just relishing that particular ras, the relationship and the taste of that relationship." And Lord Chaitanya embraced him and said, "You are the real knower of the Bhagavad Gita." So even though he was illiterate, still, people were laughing at him too. Still, he understood the Bhagavad Gita. Why? Yasha devi pura bhakti yuta devi tadakuru dashate kartita yarta prakashante mahatmana. One who has implicit faith in guru and Vedic literatures, everything's revealed to such a person. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by exhibiting some mundane magic. Foolish people are enchanted by magical demonstrations, and when they see a few wonderful things done by a mystical power, they accept the magician as the Personality of Godhead or an incarnation. That is not the way of realization. There's actually one incarnation, so-called bogus incarnation, who wanted to impress people by showing that he could manifest a Shiva Linga. Shiva Linga is a small manifestation of Lord Shiva. Anyway, so unfortunately for him, or fortunately for us, there was a video taken of him manifesting the Shiva Linga. And on this video, you could see he swallowed the Shiva Linga secretly before. And he learned the art of keeping. Actually, if you talk to a magician, you can find out that they have this art of they train themselves. They keep something right in their digestive system, like halfway down to the stomach, and they have the muscles all trained to bring it up at any time. So he ate the Shiva Linga, or put it in his mouth, and went into the whatever digestive system. And he threw up, not really threw up completely, but you know, he had the muscles actually made it come up. And the Shiva Linga came back into his hands, and everyone was saying, "Wow, he must be God. He created a Shiva Linga from thin air." Not from thin air. It was in his digestive tract. That's not thin air. And everyone was thinking, "Oh, he's so wonderful." Just some stupid magic trick, like pulling rabbits out of a hat or some stuff like that. Nor should one guess or speculate about an incarnation of God or the Personality of Godhead. One has to learn from the bona fide person or from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, as Arjuna did by the mercy of Krishna. Krishna himself also gives many hints about his potencies as the supreme, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead only through the evidence presented by the Shastras and the Mahajanas. Mahajanas means great personalities, pure devotees. In any case, one must have the mercy of the Lord in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service. There is no other way. Ishvare ra kripalesha hoyatayaha rei seta ishvara tatva janibare pare. The Acharya continued, if one receives but a tiny bit of the Lord's favor by dint of devotional service, he can understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atapi te deva padam bhuja doya prasada leshanu grihita hivahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahim no nachanya hiko pichiram vichinvan. Yes, Sanskrit. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Wow. Not only are those who speculate unable to know Krishna, but those who commit offenses lose their ability to know Krishna. The above verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29, the Brahma Sangita states, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atmabhakta. It's very difficult to understand the Lord with just studying the Vedas, but it's very easy if one takes shelter of a devotee. Brahma Sangita 5.33. Although the Supreme Personality of God and Krishna is the ultimate goal of knowledge, that's from the Gita 15.15, one who is not a pure devotee and who is not engaged in the service of the Lord cannot understand it. Lord Brahma therefore confirms this. Vedeshu Durlabham. It is very difficult to understand the Supreme Lord simply through one's studies. Of course, that's similar to the verse from the Mahabharata I just quoted, Shuti na vibina, which gives a little bit more precise definition or information about why you cannot understand God by studying the Vedas, because the Vedas are multi-branched. There's a lot of variety in there. There's different quotes or shlokas for different folks. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishyaveda Nishtrigunya Pramarjama, that the Vedas mainly deal with the modes of nature. So if you study the Vedas, you're mainly going to learn about the modes of nature unless you know which sections of the Vedas to go to understand Krishna. Otherwise, you're going to be thinking, you know, Varnashram is everything, like some devotees think. Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. However, it is very easy for the devotees to capture the Lord. The Lord is known as Ajita, which means unconquerable. No one can conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Lord consents to be conquered by his devotees. That is his nature, stated in the Padma Purana, Atakshi Krishna Namati Nabhavai Graham Indriyai. Sevan Mukheji Wado Swayamevas Purachada. In other words, you cannot perceive Krishna with your senses, but if you serve Krishna by speech, the tongue, then Krishna can be revealed to you. Being pleased by devotional activities, the Lord, okay, we can finish this. The Lord reveals himself to his devotees. This is the way to understand him. The verse from Srimad Bhagavatam quoted by Gopinath Acharya was originally spoken by Lord Brahma when he was defeated by Lord Krishna. Lord Brahma had stolen all the calves and cowherd boys in order to test Krishna's power. Lord Brahma admitted that his own extraordinary powers within the universe were not in the least comparable to the unlimited powers of Lord Krishna. If Lord Brahma can make a mistake in understanding Krishna, what to speak of ordinary persons who either misunderstand Krishna or falsely present a so-called incarnation of Krishna for their own sense gratification. Okay, so we should end now and take some questions. Alrighty, so much fun today. We're going pretty quickly through the whole process. Alright, let's allow you to unmute yourselves. Hey, Pran Govinda, we haven't heard from you for a long time. Let's hear a question. Pran Govinda, are you there? No. He's not there. He's only there in his unmanifest form. So, all right. Who else has a question?
Dandavat Maharaj. Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All grace
to Prabhupada. There you are. I see you. I have been missing you.
No, I was relishing your conclusion. Very nice.
Okay, so what question do you have?
Well, many questions, but one question is little conflicting Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's conclusion, because when he first met Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, he actually said that this kind of Sudipta, Uddipta, the five stages yeah. of ecstatic, it's for someone who is above three modes.
That's right.
So he knew that Mahaprabhu is not belong to this material world or a young sannyasi or 24 years, even though yes. he's exhibiting this. But then he is assuming that he needs to be not recognized as a transcendental personality. He did not begin. He rather kind of assumed Mahaprabhu is just an ordinary sannyasi.
That's right.
That conflicts his own verdict.
No, not really, because he had seen Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya understood from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aruya Kachena Parampadam. You know that verse?
Yes.
Jayanya Arvinda. One can write. Yeah, Avishuddha Buddhaya. He understood that one can rise to Brahman and then fall down again.
But that's for Vaishnavas, Maharaj. We understand that why they fall down.
No, but he knew the Srimad Bhagavatam too. Like, that's why he was quoting the Atmarama verse. So he had experience. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had experience because he was the guru of many Mayavadis. He had the experience that someone could rise to Brahman and fall down, which is actually what's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's corroborated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he understood that it wasn't a stable position. In other words, even the Mayavadis understand, or at least some of the Mayavadis understand, that being in Brahman is not stable, so you need some philosophical support to remain in Brahman. And he thought that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't have the proper philosophical support. That's why he was getting ready to teach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Vedanta for 7 days. So try to understand, because he thought Lord Chaitanya is in danger. He's in Brahman, yes, he's on a very high platform, but people can fall down from Brahman. Right?
Yeah, but Maharaj, to go back to the first point I had, it says that Suddha Shakta Visheshatma Prema Surjangsa Sammava. That unless somebody comes in contact with pure goodness, he cannot have a Sthayi Bhav awaken or his fixed,
I know. His consideration was that someone in pure goodness could still fall down, just like Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes the mode of goodness is prominent, defeating the modes of passion and ignorance. Sometimes the mode of passion is prominent, defeating goodness and ignorance and so forth. So someone without pure devotional service, this is our philosophy too, without pure devotional service, one can rise to Brahman to be in sattva, shuddha sattva, and then fall down. Isn't it?
Yeah, because they believe that Brahman, their conception of Brahman, what I understood from Jiva Goswami Sandarbha, they believe Brahman, when it comes in contact with Sattagun, it becomes a Ishvara, or the form of God.
That's right, right, right.
And then Brahman, when comes in contact with Rajagun, then it turns into Jiva, or living entity. And Brahman comes in contact with Tamagun, becomes nature or matter. What we call it.
Right.
But we don't accept it, but that's what they believe.
No, we don't accept it, but that's what they... But you're talking about something completely different.
But I'm trying to understand, wow, he knew that Mahaprabhu is transcendental beyond this...
Yes, but even though he's transcendental, he understood that based upon his experience and the Bhagavatam, which he had studied, obviously, that someone can fall down from Brahman. Right?
But he's trying to uplift Mahaprabhu not to fall down.
Yeah, from Brahman. He thinks Mahaprabhu is in Brahman now, but we don't want him to fall down because he's young and handsome.
Okay.
Right? That's what he's thinking. Just like, you know, I get all I could also think like that about, let's say, there's some young brahmachari in the temple, and he's absorbed in Krishna consciousness, but he hasn't reached his full realization yet. I think I better protect him from the brahmacharinis. So he's being very protective, because his experience, I am sure that he experienced being the guru of many sannyasis, that he had sannyasis fall down before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like in ISKCON, we've had that happen, haven't we?
Yeah. Sure.
And even sannyasis who were ecstatic, you know, who played the mridanga very nicely. But also there's Shastric reference that people in Brahman can fall down.
Yes.
There's Shastric reference of it. So he understands that. So here is Brahman, someone who has realized Shuddhasattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he has, this is what he's thinking, he has a body that's young and handsome. He's only 24 years old. You know, can you imagine someone who's 24 years old and exquisitely handsome like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I mean, he wasn't just like some Bollywood star. He was so handsome that the girls would faint if they saw him. Try to imagine that. It's one of the opulences. What are the six opulences of the Lord?
Aishwarya, samagrasya, virjasya, dasasya, shriya. Jnana, vairagya. Yeah.
Shriya.
Beauty.
Beauty. Like if you were to see Lord Chaitanya, you would faint. I would faint too.
Yes.
So Lord Chaitanya, I mean any of us. And so you can imagine, here is a handsome man, 24 years old, and tall, golden skinned. Wow, girls, you know, he's thinking, we got to protect this Chaitanya. He's in Brahman now, but don't want him to leave Brahman. And that's what his intention was. I mean, even in Krishna consciousness, if you saw a young sannyasi who was 24 years old and he was extremely handsome, I can't even think of a handsome guy that I know of. Let's say Vivek Oberoi. You know him, Vivek Oberoi?
No.
Bollywood star. He's ex-boyfriend of Aishwarya Rai.
Yeah, he's very handsome. He's very handsome. Uh-huh. Extremely handsome. I met him. All the girls were around him. He was twirling his mustache, and all the girls were fainting when they saw him. Seriously. I was with him. I was friendly with him. And all the girls were going, oh. All the, you know, paparazzi?
Yes.
You know what paparazzi is? And so, can you imagine someone infinitely more handsome than that as a young sannyasi? And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was worried. You know, here's this Brahman realized soul, and he has a form that's extremely attractive. So he just, and he said, what type of sannyasi are you? He said, I'm Bharti Sampradaya. He said, oh my God, I gotta help you, you know. He felt paternal affection towards Lord Chaitanya. Protective. He wanted to protect.
Okay.
You understand? He felt paternal affection. So he wanted to protect him. And that was appreciated by Lord Chaitanya. That's why Lord Chaitanya, he was not offensive to Lord Chaitanya. He felt, I want to protect this young sannyasi because, you know, he's so attractive. And because he knows that people fall down from Brahman. Because he experienced that, and also in the Bhagavatam you have that verse where people can rise the Brahman and they fall down, right?
Yes.
Aruya kachena param padam. Yujmad angreha Yenye Ravanjaksha Vimuktamani. Of course, he didn't understand the rest of the. He didn't understand the rest of the verse. I mean, he had an imperfect understanding. Yenye Ravanjaksha Vimuktamani Twayastabhavada Avashuddha Buddhaya. He didn't understand the Avashuddha Buddhaya part.
But at least he understood. When Gopinath Acharya gave those reference from Mahabharata, Sannasa Krit Sama Santanista Santi Parayana, I remember those verses.
Yeah.
Those are solid that's evidence. Like, seems like he doesn't want to accept. Oh, that's later on. Yes. Okay.
That's later on. Here, we haven't gotten to that point yet. You haven't gotten
to that point. Sorry, Maharaj.
You're giving away the the later portion of this.
No. I was just thinking, brother-in-law fight.
So brothers-in-laws, they joke with each other and tease each other a lot. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is not taking it very seriously. And that's why he tries to help Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a paternal mood, to keep him as a sannyasi. Because he doesn't understand. I mean, for example, all right, let's take Naranarayan Rishis. Lord Indra did not understand how sannyasis could withstand the allurement of all the apsaras. You know that story? The Lord incarnated as Naranarayan Rishi, and Lord Indra wanted to get him to fall down. So he sent all these apsaras along with Spring and everybody else. And Naranarayan Rishi was not at all interested. Because Indra's experience is when he, for example, in Viswamitra Muni, when he sent down Menaka, what happened? Can't hear you. You're muted.
He got disturbed by the ankle bell of Menaka.
Yeah, and as a result, there was a little girl born, Shakuntala.
Yes.
And then he sent down Ramba, and then Ramba was basically burnt by Viswamitra Muni. So this is generally what Indra does. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very worried about Lord Chaitanya. You're young. Remember he says this in the verses we read today?
Yes.
You're a young sannyasi, and you're not in a high-class sampradaya, so he wanted to give him more protection. Even though he understood Lord Chaitanya had realized Brahman, Judasattva, but he understood someone could fall down from Brahman. All right?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your question. Yes, so we should protect our sannyasis.
Something.
At least the Mayavadi sannyasis. Your voice is breaking up. I can't understand.
Oh, is it a little better now?
Yeah. What's the question?
Vivek Oberoi, I thought you might have fun remembering that one of your disciples was there, a girl, and she kept on saying, oh my God, spiritual life is so amazing after she met him.
Yeah, because she fell in love with him. You got a handsome man and the girls fall in love with him. Or you got a beautiful girl and the boys fall in love with her. Yeah, that was a story about Vivek Oberoi. One of my disciples became bewildered. I had to send her to the doctor to wake her up after meeting this Bollywood star. Give her some smelling salts. Okay, I think that's all we have time for today. It's already time to end. So, people crying. Okay, so thank you all for joining us, and we'll see everybody same time, same station tomorrow evening. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.